Daf is Daf Samech Dalad. So the Gemara yesterday's Daf was talking about a situation whereby there was a Nachri who refused to rent his area. It's probably a strange thing to ask him to rent his property so you can make an Erev. So they were trying some other options. One of the options they had said, let's ob mevatel reshus to one of our friends, one of the neighbors with the Yisraelim, and let Israel be one and one. If there's one Israel living with one Nachri, so then there's no problem of the whole Indian of the renting the property. It's only when there are multiple Yisraelim, but if we're all now mevatel ourselves to one, then everything should work out perfectly. That was the suggestion. And the Gemara says, because it's a milsa de lo shchicha, lo gazu beyrabban, they did not make a gezerah. So if you take it, the last two lines of Samech Gimel Amin Beis, the last word in the line, the Gemara says, Azal, Rav Huna Brei, Rav Yeshua, Amra L'shmaisa Kami D'Rava. He reported this whole Shak L'Tariya to Rava. Amrele, Rava says back to him, going on to Samech Dal. Now, Imkain, if that was the approach you took, then the problem with that is, Bitalta Taras Eruva Me Oso Mava. You, in essence, had abolished a Mavoy, rather a Eruv from that Mavoy entirely. Because what's going to happen is the whole creation of Shituvei Mevaos was in order that we shouldn't forget an Erev. We need to always have an Erev every single Shabbos. Why? Because even when it wasn't necessary, we wanted people to get comfortable with when it is necessary to make the proper Erev. So now, by you being Mevato Yerushus to one, so now you circumvented the need to create a Shitufi Mevaos, or we're called more generally a need for an Erev, and now the whole concept of the Erev doesn't exist anymore. People will think you could carry around without making an Erev of people putting people together. Now, when I'm using the word Erev, I'm not talking about the string, I'm talking about the Erev of people putting the past together, or Shitufi Mevaos coming together as partners. So if you have this, if you ever create a situation where you don't need to make this Erev of this bread, so that's going to be a michshal, las lavo. People would think in other situations where you do need to create a Erev, they wouldn't do so. So Gemara says, no, Demarvi, they did an Erev. They did two things. One thing is they were mevat reshus l'chad. They all relinquished their ownership, their masag, their ownership to one of the neighbors. And then also they made an Erev as well. So the Gemara says, so what's going to happen now, if you made an Erev in a situation where there's a Nachri, people are going to conclude, they're going to say that in a situation where you have a Nachri living in your domain, in your area, in your chatzer, they'll say, you know what, just make an Erev, you don't need to rent the property. Now, this situation, they weren't able to rent any of the property from the Nachri. So what they did instead is they all mevatel the reshus to one person, and then they also set up an Erev. Now, the problem here is, so now you set up an Erev in a situation where you didn't rent the property from the Nachri. So someone might say, oh, and if another situation comes up, and I'm not able to rent the property from a Nachri, I'm going to say, let's make an Erev. You don't need to be socher any karka from a Nachri. And that's not true. You do need to rent some of the property from the Nachri. So Gemara says, no, not a problem. Demach reason. We make an announcement. We make an announcement. What's the announcement we make? We say, this situation is different. The way it works is, number one thing we try to do is, we try to be socher property from the Nachri. If that doesn't work, so we mevat reshus to an echad, and we also make an Erev. So as long as we make the announcement, everything becomes clear, so that's going to work out very nice. The Gemara says the problem with the announcement is, achrasta ledardiki. If you look at Rashi, they're saying, what's this shy? Look at three lines down on Samach Dalad, Rashi says, achrasta ledardiki, v'chi achrasa zu mo'ila ledaros habaim. Is this announcement you made in this particular town, you're going to make an announcement that's going to last for generations? Sheyiru alsan metalton kan v'lo shamu b'achraza. The first, the Shabbos, you make such an Erev, such a situation, such an exception, the announcement works. But by the next Shabbos, and the next Shabbos, the next Shabbos, 10 years later, people are going to be carrying this area, and they're not going to realize that this was a special exception. So you can't trust a one-time announcement. So that doesn't work. So Gemara goes back and says a whole nother way how you could rent property from a goy, how you get the goy to be mevatel reshus to the rest of the people living in the chatzer of the mavoi. What's that? So Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava, lezel chaminayu v'likar v'la. Let one of your friends, a very friendly, one of the yidin who's very friendly, go build a friendship with this non-Jew, and v'lisho minei duchta v'linach be'midei, and ask to borrow a part of the property and place something in the property of the Nachri. What's that relevance? That's going to be like you're being a socher or a worker. There are different types of workers. We'll look at Rashi in just a second, but if you're a worker for the goy, you don't have to directly borrow property from the goy himself, the owner, but you could actually, if the worker himself, the Jewish worker, put something in the property of the Nachri, that would be sufficient to have some type of schiris of the Nachri. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu schiro v'afilu lekito, nosin eruve v'dayo. We have this concept that even the worker, the hired worker of the goy, if he places something in the property of the Nachri, that's enough to create the partnership along with the Nachri. Just look at Rashi to make this a little bit clearer. Rashi says, first, narrow line down, likarev legabe. You should have one of the friendly Yidden to come closer to the Nachri. Yishtadel im Nachri achi havo. They're friends, they like each other. B'yashilo ha-Nachri makom v'chatzeru, and let the Nachri lend part of his property to this Jew. L'asnuche be'mide, to place some item there. T'cheven d'hasha dar Yisrael v'chatzer Nachri. Now the Jew is living there, you know, if you will. He is using the property of the Nachri. Havle ha-Yisrael kischiro l'kitel sh'Nachri. He's a worker. He's working for the non-Jew. He has access to his property, and that's sufficient to use the property to make it as an Erev. So the number one, the best way to do this is really to pay some money to the Nachri and to use his property. If not that, build a relationship in order to borrow the property of the Nachri. And Rashi just says further, V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Afilu Schiru V'Lekito Shanachri, even a worker. A Schiru V'Lekito, we'll see what that means in just a second. Im Yisraelhu, if he's a Jewish worker, Nosin Eruve Im B'nei Mavai V'dayo. It's enough for him to participate in the Eruv as a representative of the Nachri. And the Sachri is Lavodas Kol Hashana, is a hired worker for the entire year. And a Lakit Limos HaKatzir V'Hasif, and a Lakit is working for a particular season, not the whole year. But either way, any worker of the Nachri could represent the Nachri, and therefore if he contributes to the Pas, to the Eruv, it's going to be enough of an Eruv. Now this comes to Lach Lamai, so the biggest question is, we all live amongst Goyim here. So how in the world are we able to make an Eruv? We can't even Vatel Vashus. We're not renting property from each Nachri who lives in the Woodmere Five Towns area. That's impossible. So one of the recommendations the post can point out is the Mordechai says this doesn't work, but the Beis Yosef says it does work. If you get rights from the mayor or from the governor, whatever the head of the area you're living in, if it's a city, a state, a county of some sort, if you ask for their permission to pay them a couple bucks, now that gives them access. Now what gives the mayor access to represent the rest of the Jews, the rest of the non-Jews? So some say if the mayor has the right to kick someone out of the house, that means he has a right to the area. Certainly the mayor of Woodmere does not have the right to kick you out of the house, so they say if he has the right to block streets. So the mayor has some authority to block streets if there's, I don't know, a parade, if there's a certain read. He has some rights. So there's a debate whether this works, but we assume that it does work. I don't know how Lamaisa, how they actually do this, but you have to ask for rights from the mayor, someone who's in charge, someone who's important, who has access to block streets, and that will give access to the entire area in order for you to make an Eruv. Now, the Meshav Davar points out this only works for Nachar, but it doesn't work for non-from Yidden. Non-from Yidden, this does not work. Because we had a discussion the other day whether the Diras Nachri is called a Dira or not. If we had a machlokas, we say Diras Nachri is not really called a Dira. They really don't impact us. We still have to rent property from them. But a Diras Yisrael, regardless of how religious, it is considered a Dira. So how do we get them to participate? They're not participating in our Erev. They're not, that means by them not participating, that means we don't have a good Erev. It's all or nothing. So what's the Eitzah? So Chaznish, he argues, he says he thinks that a Yid who's not religious, we could still, this same approach would work. It would work that if you rent rights from the mayor, it's able to make the entire city as one unit, and it includes even the Jews who are not religious, and that's how they go about to set up the possibility of making an Erev. So now the Gemara says, back inside around 8-9 lines down, Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef, Hayu sham chamisha schiro v'chamisha lekito mahu. So what's this scenario? If you look at Rashi, chamisha schirim v'likitim, Darin b'chaderim b'chadarim ba'aliyos. So you have a building, different levels of the building, and different workers living in the property. Shilu ha'isa rishus shalahen hayu tzichin lases kulan be'erv. If it was their rishus, they were living, the building was owned by them, they each have to participate and contribute to the erev. Kiditnan b'masnisin, umodim b'zman sh'miksasin shurin b'chaderim v'chul. V'hashta d'rishus d'nachri, but they're all living now in the property of a nachri. It's one landlord. They're the workers of the landlord. Mahu lases kulin be'erev. Do they all have to now give separately to the erev? Im shachach echad, if one of the workers doesn't give, lo nasan oser al bnei mavoi, does he now aser the rest of the people working because he didn't contribute to the mavoi, to the shituvei mavos? O miyamrinan kiecha de shavinu le lesachir lelaki kebailim lahakil. Just like we have that the workers represent the Nachri in being Makil, that we could take from them, we don't need to take from the Nachri to contribute to the Eruv. And therefore it's a Chumr as well. If they don't contribute, it's also a Chumr if they didn't contribute. Oh, Dilma, perhaps we say only Lakula. Shavina Rabbanan Kabailin, that we view the worker as the Baal himself as a kula. Aval a chumra lo, but as a chumra not, that's not the case. If he doesn't participate, we're not going to asser him. As long as one of the workers gave, that's enough. And the chol be'erivin the haka, we always go lakula when it comes to hilchos erivin. V'hani dirat v'adai lab didahi. These workers are not really living here. They're working for the Nachri. They're working for the Nachri. So if they don't contribute, it doesn't mean that they have a dira here. They have no dira at all. All they're doing, we're using as a kula to represent the Nachri, to accept the pass from the schir, representing the Nachri. But if he doesn't give, it's still going to be considered a good erev. His living there in the building is not going to aser. That's the suffix. And the Gemara answers, Amr lay im amru schir v'lekita lahakel. Granted, we said that we could acknowledge the worker as an extension of the Nachri, as a kula, that he's able to contribute even though the Nachri doesn't contribute to the Erev. But Yomru Shechir of Lakita Lahachmer, are we going to say to stringency that if he doesn't participate, his very presence will aser the usage in the Mavoi? That much we won't say. We only say Lakul. That ends this conversation. The rest of the daf is a completely different topic and a much lighter topic. The Gemara now says, Gufa. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we said above, Afilu Shechir of Afilu Kita Nosin Eruv Vedayo, a worker could give an Eruv representing the Nachri, and that's sufficient. So Amr of Nachman, Kama Malya Hashmaisa. How beautiful is this halacha? What a beautiful statement this is. He very much enjoyed hearing this psak. Amr of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, another statement in his name. Shasa Revius Yayin Al Yorah. Person drinks a revius of wine, he's not allowed to give a horah. He's disqualified from giving a horah. So Amr of Nachman, Lo Malya Hashmaisa. But this is not a beautiful, only the previous statement was a beautiful halacha, but this is not a beautiful halacha. So the Ha'ana, for me, kokama de lo shasina reviyasa de chamra, if I didn't drink reviyasa of chamra, lo tzila daita, my mind wasn't so clear. So I actually like to drink wine, it gave me a clarity of mind. But now you're telling me I shouldn't be drinking. This is a very important halacha lemaisa, and this is a beautiful, this is also a kama malya hashmaisa. Why didn't you comment this way as well? So Amar le Rava, Rava says, my taima, Amar my hachi. Why would you even say this is a good halacha? That's not a good halacha. Zu na, vzu eino na. Why would you say this? Well, it goes against the concept. Damer, Hamer Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. My dechse. What does it mean in the pasuk when it says in Mishle? It says veroa zonas yabed hon, which literally means the zonos are shepherds. They're going to cause loss to that which is respectable. So the drush is yoved hon. It's going to cause a loss of respect. If you say that this is na, that's na. The word zonos is, there's a drasha. Zonos means zu na. It's two words together. Zonos, zu na. When you say zu na, this is na, and vizu eino na, and this sugi is not na, it's going to be ma'aved hon. It's going to be ma'aved hona shal Torah. It's going to destroy the respect of the Torah. So we see, well, you should never say, oh, what a beautiful sugi this is, because that implies that that's not beautiful. All of Torah is na. Zu na, vizu na. Don't start saying this is beautiful, because that's not beautiful, it's all na, so be careful how you say things. That was the Musa Rava gave him. And Amr Lay Hajabi. So he retracted. Rav Nachman said he was his maskim. Just interesting to know the personality of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, throughout Shas, you see a few places, he was a very stark individual. He's very, very harif. He was a son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. So oftentimes he was very, very sharp. It, to me, just it's glaring that he actually retracted. He stepped back. He took a step back. He was moda. He was moda that he was wrong. And we see that you should never say zu na, the zu eino na. Vizyan has to be, I believe, a full amount. Yeah, regular, not mezigas kos, right? So then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba by Rav Huna, shasoi al yispalel, a person who is drunk should not daven, which really means just drinking a revius of yain. V'imis his palel tefilaso tefila. If he davened b'diavad, he's yotze anyways. If he's a shikr, his mom is drunk. He's a shikr kilot. So then al yispalel he should not daven. V'imis palel tefilaso teva. Then even b'diavad his tefila is not acceptable. It's called a teva." So how do you define heichidami shasui, heichidami shikr? What's the difference of being drunk versus being drunk? So kiha de Rabbi Abba bar Shumni, Rabbi Nasha bar Yirmiyah migifti. These two amarim have a mafter mahadade. They were departing from each other. Amavra the nar yofti. They were on the bridge of some river yofti, and they were leaving each other. And as they departed, Amr they said, "Kol chaminayin lema milsa de lo shmir lechaveri." Let's say a chiddush to someone. Let's share a chiddush with each other. Something that neither one of us ever heard before. Damar Mar bar Rav Huna, because we have a Mesora, that Rav Huna, Mar bar Rav Huna taught us, lo yiftar adam michaveiro el mitoch davar halacha. a person should only depart from his friend through a Dvar Halacha. When you leave, don't you say goodbye, give kisses, give hugs. Say a Dvar Halacha. Shemitoch kach zochre, because doing so it will help you remember him. So there's a machlokis in Mefarshim, what does zochre mean? Remembering who? Remembering what? So Pasha Pshat is the way Rashi understands zochre. I think Rashi in Brachos, I don't think Rashi said it in the Hebrew, I think in Brachos he says, this way you remember your friend. You remember your friend? So he told you a chiddush, he told you a Dvar Halacha. Oh, you remember Ruvein now because he told you a Dvar Halacha. I think Rav Yashiv says, but I think others before him even said this as well, that no, you remember the halacha he teaches you. Right? If you're sitting in the same room for like, you know, shiur after shiur, the context that you're in, it all becomes a blur. But let's say you were somewhere and you were, you know, a different context you were in, I don't know, Miami, you bumped into someone in Miami, he taught you a Dvar Halacha, likely you'll remember that halacha much more than in the same room you've been sitting in for 5 years with the same Rebbe, the same shiur, the same context, because when the circumstances, the surroundings are different, just the memory works differently. It's like put in somewhere else's head. I discuss this many times, I keep bringing up the Zichru program, it helps you remember things. The whole point of Zichru, this whole program that helps you remember mnemonics, is to create stories about the daf, to remember the three basic and major points in the daf, because once you have a different story, a different context, it helps you just, it's a different memory, it's a different block in your mind. But once it's in the same room every single day for 7.5 years learning daf Yomi, it all becomes one big blur. But if you're on this bridge of the river of Yofti, he tells you Chiddush, that Chiddush you won't forget. So either means you remember the friend, or you remember the halacha. Either way, that was the background. So what were the halachas that they shared with each other? So the Gemara says, Pasach Chad, one of them opened up. The Amar, he says, Heichidami Shasui, Heichidami Shikra. How do you define these different levels of it being drunk? So Shasui, Kol Sheyachol Adab B'lefnei HaMelech, anybody who's still, even after drinking, is able to speak properly in front of a king, that's called Shasui. He shouldn't daven in such a state, but if he does, the tefillah is Yotze. He's Yotze the tefillah. If he's able to be his shikr, kol she'eino yachol adab b'lefnei HaMelech. Anybody who's not able to speak properly in the presence of a king, that's a shikr, and his tefillah would be considered tefillah to'eva. Pasach idach, the other one, just to continue the rest of the conversation, what was the chiddush from the other end? This is an interesting discussion. Amar ha-machzik b'nichse ha-ger, ma-yase v'yiskaimu b'yado. If a person is machzik nichse ger, what does that mean? He was kona something from hefker. Nichse ger, it wasn't owned by anyone. The ger died. He had no relatives. So who first come, first serve? He was kona. He was machzik onto the property. It's all his. So what should he do to retain ownership? What's the concern? He owns it. What's the question? So we'll see in Amud Beis, Rashi points out of Ayin Hara. What's going to happen? This guy found the great mitzvah. He found some, you know, deserted property in the back of Woodsburg. Now he got it. I should have got it. It should have been mine. Free land. I'm such an idiot for not doing it. So I'm going to give the guy an ayin hara. So what does the guy do to avoid the ayin hara? So Gemara says to avoid any ayin hara, the one who acquired the property, what he should do is he should yikach bem sefer Torah. If you take the money, the property that you just got for free, if you do a mitzvah, a davar mitzvah with it, by doing a davar mitzvah, that's going to help preserve the property, the gain for you. Rashi says here, yikach bem sefer Torah b'miktsasim, from some of the property that you just acquired from nichse ager, buy sefer Torah, u'bischar elu, the schar of the schar mitzvah, yiskaimu ha'achem biyado, the rest of the property will remain in your possession. That's the first statement. Then he added further. Last line of Amr Aleph here. Amr of Sheshes Afilu Baal, even a Baal Benichse Isho, even a husband on the property of his wife. Now he certainly has a right to his wife's property. No one's going to say, wait a second, it's not fair that that husband is taking his wife's property. Why is that guy going to be jealous and give it an ayin hara? Still, nonetheless, Rashi says, Baal Benichse Isho by Lemeved Bamitza. Even when a husband acquires the property of his wife's property, still he should do a mitzvah with that property. The most of the tavaybo inshi, people are like wondering why that guy is getting such a big yerusha of millions of dollars. They're going to still be bothered by this, and that's going to affect the shilta be eina bisha. That's going to have a yetzara, ayin hara rather. So sometimes an ayin hara is because the guy's jealous. Sometimes because it's just so strange, it doesn't make any sense how that guy got the $1 billion. Who knows? So whenever you do something up here, you're going to start questioning. Just do a mitzvah with some of that property, and that's a way of being miskayim the rest of the money in your property. Further, Rav Amar afilu avad iska v'ravach. Even if a guy does business, he didn't even, it didn't fall into his lap. It wasn't Yerusha. It wasn't Nichse Ger. The guy did business. He invested it well. He was a good lawyer, a good doctor, a good businessman. He made a ton of money. He did everything right. Kifia din. It wasn't that strange. Even then, Rava says, if you want to keep that money, do a mitzvah with the money. And then the Gemara says, Rapapa Amar, Afilu Matza Metzi. Even a Metzi, you're walking the ground and you see $100 on it. So that's also, people are going to say, how come that guy picked up the $100, not me? Do a davar mitzvah with that money, take $2, give it to tzedakah, and that'll be enough to help the rest of the money stay in your possession. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Afilu Kasabu Tfilin. Now we said before, buy a Sefer Torah. That's a pretty expensive purchase. Now if you get a property, that could be small, but if you, $60,000 could be a lot of money, depending what you made. So he says, even if you write tefillin, which could be $1,000, it doesn't have to be a $60,000 investment in mitzvahs. It could be a $1,000 investment of a mitzvah. V'amar Rav Chanan v'yisei, my others say, Rav Chanina, Maikra, what's a pasuk that supports this concept? We know every concept in halacha has a source in the Torah. So where do you see that when a person donates money to a mitzvah, he's able to preserve the rest of it? So it says in the pasuk with regards to it's by Aaron. Vayidah Yisrael neder, that they made a neder Lashem when they came to the chayim of the Mechemes Midyan. They dedicated some of the stuff to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a neder. Said by giving a davar mitzvah, that was a way of preserving the rest of the chayim, the rest of the shalal, the rest of the spoils, were able to stay in their possession. Gemara now says further five lines down. Amarami bar Abba derech mil. Vishena, Koshu, Mafigan is Ayami. We discussed before when a person drinks, he doesn't have the 100% clarity of mind, as we know. So the way to remove that, the way to gain clarity, is to either walk a mill or to take a little nap, and that's going to remove it, and you're going to get back to 100% mentality. So Amrav Nachman, Amarabba Bar Avua, Loshanu Ela Sheshasa Kedei Revis. It's only true the guy drank a revis of wine, so then taking a little nap, we're going for a little bit of a stroll, and that's going to remove any of the yain. How about shasa yosim revis? If a guy drinks more than revis yain, where it's going to have a greater impact, koshikain shederach taradaso vishena mishachrito. By walking, it's going to make it worse. The guy drinks a ton of shots, he goes for a walk, it's going to make him even more drunk, he's going to be even more dizzy. The guy takes a nap, he's going to wake up even feeling worse with a headache afterwards. So only when you have mamash revis or less will these be two good etas to remove it. But more than a revis of yain, it's actually going to exacerbate, thank you, the situation. So the Gemara then says, Vaiter, V'derech mil, mafiges hayayin. Is it really true that walking a mill will really remove the wine? V'atanya, ma'isim r'gamliel, shayah rochev al-chamor. One time r'gamliel was riding on a donkey. V'ayamahalech ma'akol l'chaziv. He was going from the city of Akko to Chaziv. V'ayarebi alai mahalech acharav. And his Talmud, Rebbe Alai, was following him to the city. V'mata gluskin b'derech. He found the piece of bread on the floor. So Amar lo Eli, he says, Eli, tell Gluskin Miyadech, pick up the challah from the ground. There shouldn't be any bread. It's a bizayon to the food. Pick it up. So Mata Nachi Echad, he found the Nachi walking. Amar lo Mebagai, his name is Mebagai or something. Rabbi Gamliel says, tell Gluskin Halalu Melai. He tells the guy, Nachi, he didn't know the Nachi who he was, but he called him a name, Mebagai. He says, take the bread from Eli, please. Nitba lo, Rabbi Eli went over to the Nachi. Amar lo Mehechanata, where do you come from? He asks the Nachi, the stranger, who are you? Amarlo, Mayaros Shaburgen. I come from the city of Burgen. Umashimcha, what's your name? Mibagai, my name is Shimani, that's my name. Klum Chavercha, Klum Hakircha, Rabbi Gamliel, my olam. Have you ever met this guy, Rabbi Gamliel, before? Amarlo, love. No, I'd never met him before. So somehow Rabbi Gamliel knew the guy's name. So Boosha Shah, that moment, Lamanu, I understood, Shekivim Rabbi Gamliel, Baruch HaKodesh, that he had Ruach HaKodesh. He was able to figure out what this guy's name was. He never met the guy in his life. So Tosas on the top, look at Tosas on the top here, Shekivin, Rabbi Gamliel, Baruch HaKodesh, she points out, the Afal Pisha Yah Shem Zer Ragil B'Umos. This apparently was somewhat of a common name, so it wasn't such a chiddush that Rabbi Gamliel figured out the name. Kidamrina Meperek Gesheni Demakos, Taman Amrena Shchem Nasiv Mibagai Gazar. We have another instance where this guy's name comes up in the Gemara Makos, so you see it wasn't an uncommon name, so it's a pretty good guess he had. Mikomakom Chashiv like Kavana Baruch HaKodesh. The fact that he got it, the chances are a common name is still, the chance of getting the right name is still not very easy to get it. The name David is a very common name, but still, in a room of 50, there might be two Davids. It's still a low percentage, so that's still considered a Ruach HaKodesh. So the Gemara then says, so he understood that Rabbi Gamliel had some level of Ruach HaKodesh. And Shlosha Dvarim Lamanu, but also, I learned three things from my Rebbe that time. Lamanu She'ein Ma'avirin Ala Ochlin, we don't leave food on the ground, we don't just pass over, we need to pick it up and clean food up. Lamanu She'holchen Achrei Rov Ovrei Derachim, we also assume that Rabbi Gamliel didn't allow him to eat the bread. Why couldn't he eat the bread? Because since the area they're passing through was a city of the Nachum, Rov Nachum, we assume it's Pas Akum, and you can't eat Pas Akum. And thirdly, Lamanu Shechemsu Shenachri Achar Pesach Moter Bana. This apparently was immediately after Pesach, and it's Chametz, so even though it's after Pesach, it was owned by a Nachri, so you're allowed to get Hana. The Hana was that he gave it to a Nachri, and therefore, we see that Chemsu Shenachri is Moter Bana Achar Pesach. These are the three halachas. So that was the first set of halachas he learned. The journey went on. Kevin Shigil Kaziv, they got to the city of Kaziv, Ba'achad Lishal Al Nidro, a individual came to Rabbi Gamliel to undo a nether, he was stuck in a certain nether. Amar Lazesh Shimo Klum Shasinu Revis Yain Hidlaki. So he says to the guy with him, meaning Rabbi Gamliel didn't want to be the only dayan here, so he needed three dayanim. So he asked his Talmud Eli, Eli, do you drink any wine, yain it lucky? Are you drunk? Meaning, can you serve as a dayan right now to help me do a she'ila, hataras nadar? So Amr Lai, hey, yes, I did. So I'm a little drunk. So he said, Imkain, yitail acharenu at shiafig yainenu. So follow me until the wine removes from your system. Your mind is completely 100%. V'tail acharem shlosha milin at shegil l'suma shatsur. They traveled through 3 mil until they got to some area called Suma Shatsur. And came in shegil l'suma shatsur. They got to that place where the yain, by that point, the yain already was mafig. Yard Rav Gamliel bin Mechamer. Rav Gamliel came down from the donkey. V'nisatev, he covered himself in a talus or maybe a hat. V'yashiva v'hitir lo nidro, and he was matir the nether. V'harbi dvarm lamanu b'osasha. I learned a lot of things at this event. Lamanu, number one, shirviz yain hert lucky mishacher, that even this type of wine has the ability to make a person drunk. Lamanu, shikr al yore, I learned that a shikr can be mora halacha. I learned you can't be matir nether by being a shikr. Lamanu, shederach mafigas ayayin, by walking, you're able to be mafig, it removes the effects of the wine. Lamanu she'ein mafir nedarima. We learned also that you can be mefir neder lo rachav v'lo mahalach v'lo omer. Not when you're riding, not when you're walking, not when you're standing. You have to sit down. Yoshev. So these are the five halachas we just learned from this. Katani mias. The reason why we brought this whole conversation was because we learned shlosha milim, that you walk 3 mil. We said above that all you need to do is walk 1 mil to be mafig the yain. How we're saying you have to walk 3 mil to be mafig the yain. The Gemara says, shiny yain hit lucky to meshachar tvei. Apparently, the potency of wine hit lucky is worse, and you need to walk even further to undo the effects of yain hit lucky. V'hamar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua lo shanu elo sheshasa revis. Don't we learn that the walking only works if you drank a revis? V'ashasa yosem revis koshkein derech taradasa. If a person drank more than revis, certainly the walking is going to make it even worse. He's going to be even more dizzy. V'sheina mishacharto. And the sleeping will also make him more drunk. So Gemara says, no, rachav shiny. Apparently riding would be different. The effect of riding is not going to be as debilitating as the walking. Walking will ruin, if you yaini lucky, apparently was considered very potent. So walking is going to ruin it. But riding at a slow pace, that apparently is another avenue to even undo the effects of that which is more potent. The Gemara says, hashta, thus lahachi, now that we came to this point, that rachav is shiny with regards to that which is potent, we can also answer, lahachli rami bar abba nami lokasha, rachav shiny. When it came to, which question is going back on, the distance of walking as well, in terms of the distance, when it comes to walking, maybe 1 mil is enough. When it comes to riding a donkey, apparently three mil is what's necessary to undo the effects of the wine. Okay, Gemara now says, last two narrow lines here, Rabban Beis, Eini, is this all really true? V'hama, Rav Nachman, Mefir Nedarim, Bein Mahalach, Bein Omed, Bein Rachav. Don't we have a statement that Rav Nachman says, you could be Mefir Neder in any position you're in? You could do it walking, standing, sitting, and riding. How can we say above, it must be done sitting down? To which the Gemara answers, Tanahi. It's really Machlok, it's Tanayim. Dikelman Damar Poschin Bicharata, Vikidman Damar Ein Poschin Bicharata. What does that mean? So look at Rashi to plug everything all together. Poschin bicharata. Rashi says halfway down the Rashis. Tzarech lechacham limso pesach l'shoel shehelo pischon peh lo meladas kein lo nadarti. The chacham, when a guy asks to be mata neder, the chacham has to find a certain pesach to the one who's being shoel, the one who wants to undo the nether. We have to ask a pischon peh, had you known that this would be a result, would you regret ever taking the nether? It comes up throughout Maseches Nedarim. No, the famous one, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, when his father-in-law had made a nether that he and his daughter could never get any hana. So Rabbi Kiva came back many years later as a big Talmid Chacham, a big Gadol Hador, and Kaba Sevul was so upset because his daughter couldn't have any enough from his property. So he didn't know how to undo the nether. So Rabbi Kiva said, did you ever take the nether knowing that your son-in-law would be in Maseches Talmid Chacham? And he said, no, lo nadarti akein. I didn't think that would happen. Had I known that would have happened, I never would have made the nether in the first place, and therefore he's matir the nether. That's called post-chin pesach harata. You find the harata, something that you would have regretted, even though you didn't know about it, you regretted knowing about, you regret making the nether, that could undo the nether. Now one of the shadows with the harata is that has to be a harata that you could have anticipated initially. If it's something that's called nola, that was created new, that's not called harata. Harata is something when you're starting on point zero, that I could have seen this as a foreseeable possibility outcome. But they asked, so Toz asked the question, Rabbi Kiva was an Am Haaretz. He didn't know anything. How could anyone have foreseen that Rabbi Kiva would have been Rabbi Kiva? That's not a Charata, that's Nolad. The Tosa says, we learn from here that everybody has the potential to become a massive Gadol, a massive Talmid Chacham. That's not called Nola. That's innate in every single person. Either way, the way Charata works, this has to be something that person regrets. So how does this connect to the question of standing or sitting for Hafaras Nadarim? So Rashi says, back in Tirashi again, I'll read from the top of Rashi just to have the flow here. Poschin b'charata, tzarech l'chacham limitso pesach l'shoel sheyehei lo pischam pe lomar ledas kein lo nadarti, that he regrets, had he known, he regrets taking the net in the first place. Vilu haisi yodeya shekenu, had I known this would have been the outcome, lo haisi know that, I wouldn't take the nether. V'nimsa nether nekar me'elav, which turns out that the nether is on its oker from the beginning. From ready from the beginning, the nether doesn't even exist because he really had charata from the beginning. Now, ein poschin, others hold, you don't need to find the Pesach. You don't need to find a Charata. Ein tzarech l'ptoach lo b'charata. You don't need to find a point of regret. El ha-chacham, okre. The chacham just takes the nether and just ends it. He just okre. V'yafel pi she'eino motzei lo tam akira. Even though there's no reason, he's able to. The chacham has a certain magical power. He just ends the nether. So Rebbe Gamliel, savar k'man damar poslin, that you have to find a certain regret. And since you need to be ma'ayin into the reason to find the charata, the fika chukchach, you need to have a clarity of the mind, and for that reason you need to sit down. So why did Rambam Gamliel say you need to sit down? Because you need to think. You need to think, you need to ponder, and therefore sitting is necessary. But the others who felt that you could walk, you could stand, you could run, you could jog, you don't need to think. The Chacham says, ah, it's over, that's it, there's no need to be ma'ayin into anything, that's this machlokus tonight. So the Gemara says, back inside the last, rather the first, wide line down, the last word, Damar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my Pasach lo Rabbi Gamliel, lahu Gavra. So what was the Pesach? What was the Charata? Rabbi Gamliel, he had undone this nether for the guy who came to him. What was the nether you found? So the Gemara says, Yesh Bota Kimnekeros Cherev, this is a Pasach that's found in the Mishle, Yesh Bota Kimad Karos Cherev, that those who find in the sharpness of the sword, and says, Vlashon Chachamim Marpe, and Chachamim have the ability to heal. So what does that mean? Kol abot, anybody who makes a nether, kol abot is a lashon making a nether, is roi ledoko becherev, it's worthwhile cutting off that guy's tongue, and the dharma not good, elash lashon chacham marpe, and therefore chacham are able to heal the give a refuah to that which he said. So that's a concept of chachamim being marpe lashon of a nether. We'll finish off now the last few lines. The Gemara says, Amar Mar. Ve'mavir and ala ochlim, we had said above that when you see food on the ground, in particular bread, you should pick up the bread. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Lo Shanu Ela Bedoros HaRishonim. This is only true of the earlier generations. Shein Benos Yisrael Prutos B'Kshefim. The women, earlier generations, they were not involved in Machshef at all. So there's no chashash of bread on the floor having any type of witchery to it. Va Bedoros HaAchron, the later generations, Shebenos Yisrael Prutos B'Kshefim. So then they were concerned that any food you find on the ground could have some type of witchcraft in it. Ma'avim, we would actually pass over the bread. We would not touch the bread. We wouldn't come near the bread. We'd leave it alone. So Tana, the Brisa says, Shleimim Mavirin Psisin Ein Mavirin. Now, even when it comes to this concern of Machshefa, it's only true with a bread that's Shalim. Apparently, I don't know how witchcraft works, obviously, but they only put their Machshefa in Pas Shalim, a full bread. So full bread you leave on the ground. If it was sliced bread, that didn't have any Machshefa, that you should pick up, and no concern of Machshefa. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Ravasi, the Ravashi, Ma Psisin Lo Avdin. When it comes to a piece of bread, they don't make machshefa. Haksiv doesn't say in the pasuk. This is found in Yecheskel. It says, "Vatichalalena osi el ami b'shali seorim upsosei lechem." So, referring to pieces of bread, apparently there was machshefa back in Yecheskel's time. There was machshefa even in pieces of bread, even in pieces of barley and wheat. There was machshefa. So the Gemara says, "Hasam deshakli bagrayu." That's where they took rent. What does that mean? If you look at the last Rashi, and we'll stop with this. Rashi says, "Deshakli bagrayu." Where they took a piece of bread from other things. What does that mean? Hachi kamar Navi. The Navi Yecheskel says, "Bishul pesusei lechem shenosin lechein bischarchan chilatan es shmi b'sochami." They took bread as schar. Shehayisan osin behem kshefim the Navi habal latos es amim. So there apparently it seems like some. I'm not entirely sure what Rashi means. I think what the pshat here is. that where when you were hired to do this, so then they do it. Meaning a stam woman only plays with machshefa of a pas shalim, a full piece of bread. But if they're hired to even put machshefa even in a piece of bread, in crumbs and slices, they do that as well. So apparently Chasu was talking about a situation where they were hired in order to do this type of machshefa, but outside of that, we assume that only a full piece of bread might have any type of machshefa. We will stop here, Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.